Showdown, der Feierkultur-Podcast mit Julian und Leonie.
Welcome, Kultur.e.
Hi.
Hallo, Julian.
Hallo zusammen. Hi.
Good to have you here. Today is an English version of our podcast because you are a native English speaker. A little intro from my side. You are a DJ, a performer, a booker, an activist from Berlin. Or you came to Berlin. How and what brought you to Berlin? You can explain it later to us. You have quickly made a name for yourself with your beautiful sets and music. You once started your way into electronic music or in the whole scene, sort of with the project Maranya, which is still an important part of your life, right? I'm very interested to hear a bit more about it. I've seen it at several festivals already. Your musical style is international and nowadays, you play not only in Berlin, but all over the world, sort of. Beyond your impressive musical career, you are actively involved in social issues and advocate for equality in the music industry, which is amazing. Today, we want to talk about a few topics: booking, photo policy, female impact in the music industry, future of electronic music. But first, let's dive a bit deeper. How would you describe your position in the scene, not only in Berlin? And yeah, what brought you here?
I think when I started playing was very one of the reasons why I actually decided to stay was because a friend of mine, Mika, actually, she came to me and she said, this was 2017. It's very relieving to see a woman playing. And I really imagine that is like, I identify myself very much more if I see a woman playing. And then...
So that was a time where it was still a little bit of a surprise. And
actually, so I arrived in Berlin in 2015. And the first party that I went to about Blank was already 100% female lineup. So this was the first time that I ever saw 100% female lineup. I know that it was kind of late, maybe, but it's been almost 10 years and we still are talking about it. We still are talking about equality or having more flinters in the lineup, and we still have to discuss quite a lot to have nearly 20-30% of the lineup that are that represents flinters or female identified people.
And then, and what happened in the meantime since you're here? So you decided to stay?
To tell you the truth, it was very random. Like, I didn't plan at all to come to Berlin. It was one of my best friends, Danilo Team, that is also very present in the scene, that told me to come. And he said, now it's day. They said, come and stay 3 months, maybe, for you to check it out how it is, because I was not very happy at the moment. Like, it was a very privileged crisis, of course, but I was 27. I think it's pretty common. Like, is it the age of the crisis? And I came to actually not plan at all to stay, and I am here until now. It's been 9 years.
It happened by accident, sort of. How did it, how did you get in contact with the whole Maranya crew? This is also how you sort of like dived into the whole scene or not?
Where we are sitting right now, that is Holzmarkt. It is a place that is very, very important for me in Berlin. So Holzmarkt was already my home, was actually, I've actually a very funny story. But so I met Paula from Maranya exactly here. In Holzmarkt, in the December, in like Christmas market, I was working at the bar. I was bar managing in actually there, exactly this bar, that is the Spreelunke. And Paula was exposing her stuff. And she's Chilean and I speak Spanish fluently because I also studied in a Spanish school. And we are both like weird stuff. She had a project that is like pieces of Barbies, like a hand, a leg, like kind of deconstructed Barbies, mm-hmm. which also has to do with deconstructing the perfection of the female image. Mm-hmm. And only because of this, we already identified with ourselves a lot. And she comes from the circus as well, which I also identified myself a lot. I'm not circus, but I always made the Olympic gymnastics since I was a kid. So I really love also the nomadic life of being. Mm. So the gypsies and the circus and the way these people live and very freely and not attached to anywhere, which also relates to my background as an immigrant, mm-hmm. eternal immigrant. Japan, mm. Brazil, now Germany. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think it's like, this is the relationship and I met her exactly here.
Mm. At the bar.
At the bar. Yeah, offering actually a Glühwein.
Wow. Nice. And this is where the whole story started.
This is how we started. And it was also in Melt Festival in 2018, mm-hmm. I think. Was the first time that we actually tried out something new. So Maranya was there as a performance and I was there as a DJ. And we actually clicked and we said like, maybe we try to do something together. Mm-hmm. And we created like a quick choreography. Mm-hmm. And that worked very well. Mm-hmm. That
yeah. For everyone who doesn't know Maranya, it's really an absolute beautiful art piece. And please check it out. We're going to link it or try to link some videos because it's outstanding. I don't know if you've seen it, Julian.
The installation, yeah.
Something I've never seen before and probably will never again. It is very, very special. Yeah. So thank you for this.
No, please.
And then you also moved into booking. So I think for the Bucht, how did that come along? And how's your situation with the Bucht nowadays? And maybe we can also dive a little bit into this year's event of the Bucht.
Bucht, I am one of the bookers from Bucht. Very happily part of the Bucht team. That is a team that I admire very much. I came to Bucht through Felix. So Felix Schmecker-Fuchs mm-hmm. invited me in 2020, I think. So we made a stage together at About You Pangea Festival in the year that Bucht didn't happen because of pandemic. And Pangea was doing kind of the small version of it. And we did a stage together. It worked so well that he invited me to work with him in Bucht. And I'm there also until there. Mm-hmm. And Felix, I'm super, super thankful for him because I didn't know that I was a booker also. Yeah. So he also pushed me. Like he was like, you have to come and work with us. Yeah. And so, yeah, we can try. And nowadays I also love curating and thinking about the dramaturgy of the stage and comparing with the other stages. And I also realized that I like to do festivals and not club. So I don't think I will be able to do like every weekend, like a booking for a club. But I love to create this big thing that is happens just once a year. Mm. And that's it.
Like a vision.
Yes. It's too. Like, yeah. What is the concept? What is the vision for this year? What we want to talk about it? What we want to show to the guests? Mm-hmm. And
also like to have a bit more time in like programming and like planning everything to make it even a bit more deeper.
Yeah, it's a process also kind of like when we have so many stages as well, each stage has its different timing. We have to also align with what is happening with the scene, what the guests want to see, the ages of the guests, like... Yeah. Do we bring more younger people? Do we don't bring so many younger people?
And how do we bring the younger people also?
with acts that they like, basically. Yeah. And this has to be aligned also with the concept of the festival because Bucht, for example, is a festival of older people.
Yeah.
We have less than 2% of our audience has less than 25 years. Mm-hmm. So mostly of the audience from Bucht is like 28 mm-hmm. to 50, even like 60s.
Yeah.
Like, and this is also the way we also have to plan kids. Like a lot of festivals, we cannot have kids anymore because of the junge Abend. How do we make it safe or inclusive mm-hmm. for families and kids as well? So this is also a step that we are inbuchtet. Also, our founders, our people also have kids. So how do we include them? And for now, we have a program at Sigismond, and like they can be in the one half of the festival. And then we have an inside area that is in Infield, where the rave is, that they cannot come in.
Mm.
But the circus and the other stuff, the lake, everything else is like on the other side. And this side, they can be there. Mm.
What were your aims for this year? Your kind of overall booking concept? Can you say a few words about it? And also maybe the challenges of this year. What is changing in the festival sphere that is might be also complicated?
I think Berlin is living a very special moment now, which we are feeling the impact of the pandemic. So almost 3 years later, impact of the very high costs after pandemic and inflation as well. So everything became very expensive comparing to some years ago. It's not that not cheap anymore to rave in Berlin as it was before. So we are losing a lot of clubs. Watergate is closing this end of the year. Renata's going to close next year.
Also maybe a loss of generation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't rave anymore. So it's a lot of changes that both club culture and I think the festival culture are also feeling. So Bucht, luckily, is one of the festivals that was sold out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this is not happening with a lot of festivals. A lot of them are with a lot of trouble.
Mm.
Melt.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
over.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think for the future, I think we feel very responsible also as one of the festivals that like are still there, are still alive.
Mm.
What we're going to do. We just started our meetings like for next year. So I cannot tell much. Like I just can tell for myself personally what I do think that it was missing this year. So 2 years ago, we had a showcase from Kenya and we had more African artists.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a little bit more worried about the POC artists, which was kind of, it is also like a movement. But like last year, we almost didn't had POC artists. So this is something that I really want to I bring back for next year.
Do you need more sponsoring or like funding for that? Or what's the challenge in that?
No, it's just like actually finding a way of how to include them in the program in a creative way.
Yeah.
But now in November, I'm going to Nyege Nyege Festival also for the first time, thanks to Music Commission Berlin.
Yeah,
thank you
yeah.
very much. So I got a funding from Music Commission Berlin as music ambassador.
Oh, nice.
To be able to go to Nyege Nyege. And
that's where?
That's in Uganda.
Oh, Uganda. Okay. Yeah.
To be able to make this bridge. Oh. So bring more artists from Africa to Berlin and be able to make this exchange as Berlin is a very international city. And we want to keep bringing more artists. Although we do live a hard time, we want to keep exchanging with the artists, which is, I think, one of the most, the things that we have. The most valuable things that we have here.
Yeah. And I mean, Berlin is a very important place for so many artists, musicians, performer. And people still try to create new things and not to stop.
Mm.
Let's go back one step to Bucht der Träume. As we had a little panel there together with Heiko, with Emiko and Franziska, she's the head of photography at Bucht der Träume.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is also a very important topic, especially in a festival with Bucht der Träume. Like Bucht der Träume, as you said, it was sold out, but they never like published the lineup, for example, and they also have a very strict photo policy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we were talking about, like photo policy in terms of safe spaces, but also for like artists, how important is content creation for an artist to stay and to keep their channels and their social medias alive. So my question is, and we had this conversation already in a very long and really interesting panel, and I really hope that we can sort of at some point like publish it as well. But when we talk about like safe spaces in terms of photo policies, where do you see these festivals and also club culture and especially also like the growing of artists like going? How important is it? And how important is it to keep it away from the dance floor?
Well, I think also again, Instagram grew a lot since pandemic because we couldn't see stuff personally, so we were seeing everything online. So the online presence nowadays is very important, unfortunately or fortunately. Like the new generations, they don't have SoundCloud. They have followers on the Instagram, even if you're a musician. I think Bocht is a place. I am actually very happy how we are doing now. That is, the photos from Bocht are mostly from the crowd, but without being able to see the faces, and from the artist himself or the performance. Like we have cabarets or Pinky Promise, which or hardcore, like the performances are usually people who really enjoy taking pictures. But our audience from Bocht specifically, it's not an audience that I would say that they love to take pictures. It's like they are part of the Berliner crowd, which they want to, me included, they want to feel safe in their dance floor. Sometimes you don't want to be photographed and you don't want to be in someone's Instagram randomly. And Germany is also quite picky with and strict with data policy. And we try to respect the most.
But still there is this kind of lack sometimes also for the artist, as you say, as a booker. You not only look up their SoundCloud and their music style, you also look up their followers and their Instagram profiles or TikTok or whatever. So there is like a gray zone between how do I present myself and how do I still save or keep the people in front of me who are the dancers and the audience safe, right? And some, for example, like some festivals, they do have like these kind of content zones, which is
sounds pretty commercial.
Sounds pretty commercial, exactly. But at the same time, like, do you think, for example, that festivals should like offer the artists like a solution of like filming themselves while they're playing, and then like this area is not like it's out of safe space area, sort of?
They can. At least at Bocht, they can. If you want to bring your own photographer or if you want to bring your own videographer, you just have to speak with Francisca, that is our head of photography. And they have to be briefed of how they like what what can be filmed, what cannot be filmed. And they can do that. But one of the main rules is do not film the audience.
Okay. So it's more an audience topic.
Exactly. So it is possible, for example. And then we have some alternatives like streams. We have Boiler Room. We have Her Berlin. Or like, so this is one of also stuff that grew a lot during pandemic, or art and concert, that you can have an idea also of how this artist performs. It's pretty different when it's through cameras and not people, of course. But this is also one of the alternatives. But I think it really depends on where you are. In Berlin is quite difficult. But for example, if you're here in Holzmarkt, or like not inside Katerblau, but if it's like an open air here, you can have videos from it. Depends where you are. Exactly.
But it sort of, I don't know, in my opinion, it did grew a lot during the pandemic, right? Like the idea also of the artist, like, okay, this is also a solution for me to grow my, like my socials, or to get more likes, or to get more bookings even, right? And because when I think back before the pandemic, that wasn't that popular, like that the DJs were such in focus. Like they would rather say like, no, I don't want to be in the picture. No, I don't want to show myself. Like I'd rather show my music, but I don't want to be like so like in the spotlight, right?
So the visual part of DJing,
it grew a lot.
Yes. Yeah. That's no doubt.
Yeah.
It grew a lot.
Do you think an artist can even be successful without having any of these tools?
I think, as I said in our panel, yes, if the artist is present in the scene, if the artist has some contacts, or if the artist knows people, because if it has zero presence online and doesn't have any contacts, I would say that it's a bit hard. Like, how will you arrive kind of in the bookers and then so it's kind of sell yourself as a musician if you don't have, like, I think it depends as well. Like, it's even Bergheim Panorama, some people just, they randomly ask to play and they can't play. Mm. So like the head booker says yes, because they like their sets.
Yeah,
and not only there, I think in Qatar as well, but it's kind of luck. If it's at the right time, if it's in the right time and the right place, yes, why not?
There's also actually the no photo policy is also spreading to other entertainment areas. Like there is, for example, this huge new concert event format. It's called, I think, Unheard in Berlin. And there is also like a huge concert for newcomers, but actually bigger ones. And there's also you can't take your phone and you have to put a sticker on it. So that's actually something that, you know, we only know from club culture, but it's going into the pop scene. And I think it also makes sense because at concerts it's the worst. You know, it's like you're standing there and everyone is having their phones out and you're like, you want to scream, you know, like take it down, you know, enjoy the moment. Come on. And so I think that's also a great great trend actually.
Yeah, sometimes it's a bit like irritating when, for example, when you see those videos from, especially what for my understanding, like keine Musik, when I see the videos of their gigs, no one is really dancing at some point. Like everyone is just holding the phone. But this is probably the future.
Let's jump to another great event. So we talked a little bit about the Bucht. We could talk about it much, much more, but it's a lot of things that you cover. You're actually returning from the States right now. I don't know if you still have a jet lag, but you've been to Burning Man.
She still has the burn glow.
So maybe, take us a little bit through it. Like, first of all, how complicated is it to get a booking or to first make the decision of going there? What's all going through your head in order to actually go there?
Wow, so Burning Man was a ride. Like Burning Man is like everyone that parties, I think, he heard about the event of Burning Man. And it was a place that I really wanted to see maybe one day in my life and maybe just once. But it's a trap. Once you go, it's really, really, once you go, you will want to go back kind of mostly every year if you can, if you have the money to do it, because it's expensive.
Yeah.
Like I won't tell you, it's cheap. It's not cheap. It's expensive.
Yeah. Mm.
It's expensive. It's a lot of logistics. It's still very wide, I think. It's like the event couldn't be a little bit more inclusive and think about like diversities and the ways I think they do, but still not enough for like an event that happens for 20 years and stuff. But it is still at the same time a very magical place because a lot of humans put a lot of good intentions there. And this creates a very, very nice energy. So the place is also a desert, which is so beautiful, like nature-wise. Sunsets and sunrises are unbelievable. It's very beautiful. And sandstorms are also kind of romantic almost because it's like very mystic.
But also struggle then.
It's okay. It's kind of, you get used to it. And a lot of people don't understand why these thousands of humans just like go there in the middle of the desert to do whatever, to party and to show their artworks. And it's kind of it's so confusing. It's like, why someone would do that? You can even not shower. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no water. And then once you go, you understand. Mm-hmm. But you have to see it. You have to kind of leave it personally and understand the struggle. And as humans, we are animals and we are pretty adaptable. Mm-hmm. You adapt very fast mm-hmm. with the climate, with the desert, with the dryness. And really, we do have all the tools to live there. Mm-hmm. It's not that difficult nowadays, mm-hmm. even. You know, if it's like, I don't know, maybe 40 years ago. But nowadays, it's easy. It's like, you have everything. Mm. But decision to go to Burning Man. It was a natural process. I can be very transparent and honest how it worked. I have friends that they go there since a while. So my friend told me, why don't you apply for a low income ticket? And that's what I did. I applied for a low income ticket and they gave me a low income ticket. So this is actually how it started. Number wise, a ticket for Burning Man, I think, is $575. Low income ticket must be $280, something like almost half price, mm-hmm. which for an European is fine. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. almost the price of Fusion, is almost the price of Bucht, which I think is very fair
yeah.
for someone that lives here. How do we consider yourself a low-income person or not? Well, what I did, I researched about what is the audience from Burning Man. Is a white male, 37 years old, that earns $100,000 per year. Mm-hmm. Well, my earning is much less than this. Mm. I can say it is like maybe 20% of this. Mm. Maybe, you know, it's kind of close to this. So I am considered like a person that is a low income comparing to the normal audience of Burning Man. Mm. There are people who are much more, people who are much less, but this is their own research. It's like if you go to the website or FAQ, if you Google it, you're going to find this. Mm. Yeah.
And then, so you went there as a fan, not as a DJ, or you probably also then got some gigs to play. How's that process? How do you get to
you just have to
bookings?
Talk. You have to talk with people. So yeah. No one earns any fee there. Yeah.
Okay.
So no one earns anything. Everyone has to pay for their ticket. And when we play there, you can play 2, 3, 4, 10 times. You're not going to earn anything. Hmm. It's like, that's the rule. Yeah. And you just have to choose the camps that you're going to be playing with. Of course, then you have the sound camps who are very famous. Mayan Warrior, Robot Heart, Maxa. These are the three biggest, maybe Fluffy Cloud. I don't know, like I'm just naming a few of the art cars, which you see in the videos and you see Kind of Music playing, or you see Liberage or Calcox playing. And this is also, talking about Calcox, it's just, being an American, being a Burning Man, it's very fun to see those people who are legends. At least Calcox is a legend for me. He's like someone that I'm a fan, that I have never seen him live. And he plays like several times in Burning Man. So you can see him live and yeah. say, hi! or Liberage, or you know, kind of music, like big names.
Yeah.
They are all there.
Yeah.
And they all is the same.
Yeah.
They play for fun.
Yeah.
So it's a place where, as you're there and you're playing for fun, it's also activates kind of another side of ourselves. Mm. You know, you're just silly and you can play, depends on the camp. But we, for example, me, Mishi and Nacho, we did a 10-hour set or 9 hours 45, which was the most fun thing to do ever. Because this freedom, we are not giving this freedom as often anymore. You have 1 hour to play. You have 2 hours to play. You have a main time where you have to open, you have to close. You have like as a job, like as a musician. So having this freedom, you can do whatever you want for how long you want. This is the result.
But I think also this location sort of and the environment plays a big role there, right? Because sort of you lose the idea of space and time, and like you see everything on the same kind of level. I've only experienced Africa Burn, which is the very small sister of the Burning Man, and for me it felt like exactly what you say. It's like completely out of this world place and meeting all these people then, and everyone is on the same page. Everyone is equal. No one, like everyone brings their own food, their stuff, like there is nothing to buy. They exchange or they change or whatever. And I think it's a beautiful idea of how a world could actually be. Mm. Besides the fact that it's hectic to get there and to get back and to like sometimes like deal with stuff like sandstorms or deserts or whatever, thunderstorms.
It is an ideal because actually you already spent the money that actually you would spend on that week. Because you have to buy everything before. You have to buy a lot of liters of water. You have to buy a lot of food. You have to rent an RV or you rent a tent. Mm. All the money actually that you would spend in this week, you already spent.
Okay. Yeah.
So it is utopian, but having a pause also of a week into not touching your money, not touching your wallet, and just now it's already done, right? Mm-hmm. You already spent this money.
Freedom.
You have to give it away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's everything else. Everyone is the same. Mm. So we can gift each other. Yeah. You have a lot of water left. You have a lot of stuff left. You can exchange with the camps. You have like the shower camp that they need water. You give a little, you give like 2 liters of water or something, or 5 liters of water to them. And this exchange, it creates really very community build. And anyone that is there working, even their camps, they are not earning money.
Yeah.
So that's why there are a lot of like fundraising events like happening before and after the burn. But inside there, no one is earning.
So, and how do you, just one because I didn't know that there are tickets. So how do you actually control the? So are there actually securities controlling your tickets? Like,
yes.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Ah. And is there like a... are there areas where you as a guest need like a permission to get there? Or is it like all wide and free and open and you can actually go wherever you want?
You can go whenever you want.
And you can go
as far as you want. And are there like securities people watching you? Or is it all like self-controlled?
So you have the trash fence. This is the limit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the trash fence. Is actually, you can even jump the trash fence because it's not like a 2 meters fence. Mm-hmm. It's a 1 meter fence. So, but the trash fence is the limit, like of the Burning Man.
The border,
like of the desert. And we have people from Burning Man. They are the rangers that they kind of control. We can call them securities, but they are the people who control that the streets are free, because a lot of people like... each one has their bike or their transportation, and you park, and you cannot park in the middle of the street. Like it's kind of like a city. If there is a party and a lot of bikes are parked in the middle of the street, they're gonna stop the party. You're gonna say, "Hey guys, you have to like move. You have to respect the street." For example, there are rules inside.
Yeah. It's crazy. It must be. I have no idea how big it was this year. But do you have a number of people?
I think I would say 50,000-60,000.
Okay.
But it was much less than the last year's.
Yeah.
I think the mud last year also.
Yeah, the mud. Yeah.
Made
was
it
a bit
last
of
time you couldn't leave, right? It was just
They got people got stuck, but just for one day or two, because if it rains,
the sand
gets hard. It's and the RVs or big cars, they couldn't leave basically.
But it got very big in the press last year in Germany. Like it was like felt like they were in in sort of a prison there for 5 days. But I think it was just one day, right?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
Like if you talk with someone, that it was pretty difficult sometimes because you couldn't even, if you're in a tent, you cannot go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So people have to pee actually in their tents and keep their pee there. So it was, I know for some situations, it was not that easy, but not impossible.
And when you think back, I mean, it's just like 5 or 6 days. what was your personal highlight? Also maybe not only from the guest side, also from your like artist side.
Like no doubt this 10-hour set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was... playing a back-to-back with Michi and Nacho, who are friends, and
Mad Motor
Michael, yeah. Exactly. So Mad Motor Michael and Nacho Isa. Mm-hmm. We can also link the set afterwards. It's up in the cloud. It was just so fun that we could stay there playing hours. Like Nacho had to play a Maxa car afterwards, but otherwise we would just stay. We could stay 12 or 15 hours.
Yeah.
And which stage was it?
This was the G Camp, was our home, actually. Mm-hmm. This also was the first time that the G Camp did parties. So we did three parties, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So this was actually our closing party. That's why also was kind of, we are very excited. But Tuesday was the Parallels and MAGA. Wednesday was Mira and Chris. And Saturday was us. Wow. So all of these people, a lot of these musicians, they were staying at the G Camp as well, which is this actually, it's a new camp. It started last year and this was the first year that we made parties, and our parties were kind of after parties that started 7 a.m. and then it was open end.
Yeah.
And we served croissants and cold brew. So it was kind of official after hour that stayed like day parties, and it was very, very nice.
Sounds really nice. And then you're kind of playing at home, so you can then, so next, you can go just next door to sleep.
Yes, exactly.
If you want to sleep, you can sleep. Yeah.
If you would, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to change your clothes, it's like there. Yeah, nice. The tips is like there.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the overall experience, obviously like the burning, the burn of the man, when all the art pieces get burned down, this is the grande finale of the festival. How did you and your crew experience this? There must be something absolutely outstanding. Like
the man burn itself happens on Saturday, and they have also the temple burn on Sunday. So I think my opinion is the temple actually is a place that is very crazy. Mm-hmm. Like the temple, we can say that is like a church or a grief, sorrow, beliefs, faith. And it has a very crazy energy. So people already know the burners, they already know about the temple and they get prepared. A lot of people bring stuff, they bring memories, they bring a text, they bring poetry, and they hang in the temple, inside of the temple,
to let go
people who they lost. People, I lost also a cousin in the last like 4 years. I wrote his name there. So it's a process of grief, and when the temple burns on Sunday, it's like to really let go for you to send your intentions for these people. Can be, I saw everything. We have dogs, family members, war, a lot of grief inside there. Mm. And it's a very emotional place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost impossible for you to come in and kind of not cry or not get emotional and sensitive about everyone that left something there.
Yeah.
Wow. So the temple burned, it's one of the last things that happens on Sunday. And then afterwards, kind of like after hour already.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And together with what's happening right now, we touched already the topic with the club closures in Berlin. I think it's also happening in Hamburg. And if you see like the festival sphere right now, there are big events like Burning Man. There are other events always growing, going more commercial also. But there's also the other trend that it's getting more and more complicated to kind of work uncommercially in the subculture. How do you right now, also from a booking perspective, watch this development in the scene regarding the club culture itself?
I think, for example, Bucht is a big example of the underground scene, and this is how we want to keep. Of course, like we do have two main stages, Porto Loco and Atlantis, where you will see big names or headliners that you expect to see. We don't review them, but we will have them.
Mm-hmm.
So like a little bit of the commercial, like we will see. Also in our live stage, we had Iki Mel last year, this year. Or last year, Ace T, like we have like a maybe 1, 2, 3 names who are kind of like pop culture from Germany, which, yeah, exactly, that we are bringing a little bit. So Tropical also was there, Tropical LTD.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have also a little bit of this. But
is there a lot, one quick question, is there a lot of discussion about artists like Ikimel then behind the scenes? How do you...
So Ikimel was, she was a discussion between the booking team, but that's the thing, is like each stage has 2, 3 bookers, and actually the final decision is from these bookers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like the booking, unless we have a veto as a team, which we can happen.
Okay.
But usually these 2, 3 bookers that are responsible for this stage, they kind of define they give the final word of which artist is going to be there. Mm-hmm. And actually we have usually the freedom to do whatever we want. So it was an idea of, okay, let's have one day of hyper pop.
Mm-hmm.
With Tobika LTD, we have Ikime, we have, I don't remember any much more, but like it was a discussion and it was a tryout.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it worked, it didn't work. Now it's a debrief. We liked that. So we discussed for next year, which can be completely different.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know if we're going to have another hyper pop day mm-hmm. next year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. When we think of also use, when we think of ideas like Club Culture Day, like Tag der Clubkultur, what just happened last week, and when we think of like how to keep the whole scene together, like how to keep like clubs open, or like find new environments for them, new venues for them. Like when we think back in the past 5 years, we lost like 50%, not in Berlin only, but also in London and Paris and wherever, like in Europe, of club culture and clubs. And this is like a dynamic we don't want to have, right? This is something we try to sort of like stop, but the pandemic also like did a lot to our culture. So at the Tag der Clubkultur, that was or is a place, I don't know if you went there, probably not because you were at the Burn, but do you think these kind of events are important for us, like for the scene and also for people who are creators, to keep them together and to remind them, hey, there are some other communities, there are some other people who do stuff, like to give them a platform to show up.
Yes, I think like Tag der Clubkultur, mm-hmm. listen to Berlin Awards. Mm. These are stuff that are very important. We have Music Board Berlin. So all of this fund is even Music Commission Berlin.
Club Commission, yeah.
Or Club Commission mm-hmm. as well. So there is a lot of funding available, which is mm-hmm. very rare.
Mm.
Like this is only Berlin, especially Germany and maybe Österreich, and maybe Austria also. You have a lot of funding to music, to artists, which is not very common.
Mm.
But there is a but in mm-hmm. all of this. That is, I really feel that there is a lack. There's something missing that connects the funding and the underground artists.
Yeah.
During pandemic, I feel that they got it. It got a little easier. So also the fundings and the politicians, the cultural politicians, they understood that artists are not people who will sit in their chairs and just like write an essay of 10 pages.
Yeah.
So like they made it easier during Corona for the artists to be able to explain their projects and to make a financial plan.
Mm. And also to understand how to write a financial plan.
Exactly. And there is actually free consultancy from in Berlin that you can do, and if the artist wants, it is something that is achievable. But a lot, I know tons of them that they have absolutely no capacity of doing this,
yeah.
or of even sitting to do a project. It is something that it's very difficult for them.
Mm.
So they need someone that makes it for them,
mm.
and this is also not. It's something that costs money, and a lot of times the artist doesn't have money. So there.
And also one question there. It's even more complicated, I can only imagine, for someone, for example, not speaking German, because I mean, all the bureaucracy, all this, you know, all these texts, exactly. And so it's like, so that's, and there I found, for example, the Tag der Clubkultur also, refreshing, that it, there was like a whole award show only done in English. And because I was thinking, yeah, I mean, this is also what Berlin is nowadays, all the collectives, all the, and to actually be recognized also. So there's really not a lot yet in the scene that is kind of recognizing that, or what's your thoughts on that?
I think the collectives is actually, Tactical Kultur is very open because you can do it, you can apply as a club, you can apply as a collective, but a lot of times if they don't know also. So it's, I think there is still a lot to be worked on, but it's in a very good way. Yeah. I would say that there is a positive way, is a positive and good way. Listen to Berlin Awards as well. Like we have, there is like sponsoring. So there is money available. And I think there is this lack of also the underground artists to understand that this is actually good.
Yeah. Necessary.
They don't have to be 150% independent.
Yeah.
That it's okay for you to have a little money from this one, have a little money from this funding. It's not going to make you a worse artist because you have this support.
Or less of an artist because
you have this support.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, but it's an education.
It goes step by step, yeah.
Yeah.
If we talk about fundings, I was just remembering what also happened, Mental Rave magazine from Buch der Träume, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of Mental Rave. They also started a funding and I was like a bit like sad when I heard like that it not really like worked out well, the funding. And I was like, that's sad because it's a good topic. It's necessary. It's like something we should talk about, right? And it's something good for the whole community and the whole scene. And there I'm wondering like, why is this not more supported also from like institutions like Club Tag der Clubkultur or Club Commission? I would wish for this to get a bit more pushed, right? Mm. Because the idea behind it is really amazing and should have more,
I mean, this might also play into the new concept of people becoming a part of events, initiatives, clubs, festivals to make it possible for the consumers, for the fans, for the also to become a part of it and get their share in it. And you know, if the development is going more and more into this direction, I think at some point, I mean, you could now, you know, try to support the Groove, you could try to support the Wilde Möwe, and so there's a lot, you know, to support. So it also be probably getting harder for those initiatives to get heard and to also get support. I have the feeling.
Mm. Yeah, but I think this is very special from Berlin, and that we as artists or any person that works in the music industry, we should actually get more advantage of this. It's just that it's hard. I know, because this is a conversation, but we should take more advantage of this. Mm. It's like really very exclusive from Berlin. Music Board Berlin has also in English. Mm-hmm. Tag der Clubkultur is in English. Music Commission Berlin has English stuff. Just go after it. Mm. Really, there is a lot of funding out there.
Mm. Mm. Music Initiative, I think, is also the German one. And great. Mm-hmm.
We could talk about all these topics much longer. It's like, oh, I want to ask more. I want to know more. But yeah, at some point we have to come to an end, sort of. But obviously we're super, super curious what's happening next, or what is your like future planning also for 2025? How do you see, three questions in one sentence, obviously, how do you see the club and festival scene developing in the future? And are you in a good state and in a good mood for it?
I am very much in a good mood for it. Like, I think it's very, very sad that we are losing so many important places. But at the same time, we know why. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been seeing this for years that it's going to happen. and another side of myself think it is sad but necessary that we pass through this phase. And I do have faith that it's going to re-come in a newer version, like a new Berlin and a newer club, like with a younger generation, because this is something that since Corona also is something that a lot of clubs are struggling with, that it's how to pass to the new generation, the clubs that we already have or the projects that we already have. And some clubs did it. Back in Panorama, I think they did it, like they changed. It's different, but it's still being very much acceptable. Some other clubs, it was very difficult. They didn't know how to do it. And which is quite normal. I think it's in any company, this is a, something that happens, right? And we had also the Corona in the middle. So 2 years generation that they didn't know how to rave. We have to re-educate these people. They are full of phones because they want to put in their Instagram. Okay, how do we educate them that actually it's live the moment, leave your phone at home or just like stick them. So it was all of this like...
At the same time.
At the same time a little bit. So I think it's very understandable that it's happening. And I do believe that the people and the co-workers, the workers from the scene are going to re-stand, but in another way, like in a new way. Mm-hmm. We're going to pass through this regenerative cycle,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
So I am actually very excited to see also how Fusion is going to do, or all the festivals that are still there. Even Möhre, you know, actually Wiedemöhre is super young.
Yeah.
Like all the crew from Wiedemöhre, they are super young. I know that it's been also not very easy for them. Lusatia fell also down. The relationships are not very, let's see. But I am very positive and excited to see what is going to happen. That's for sure.
Nice.
Thank you so much. And where is your next gig? Where can we sit and dance for you?
Yeah.
So actually this weekend, it's a project that I'm going to play at Tanklager, which is actually in Leipzig, is a new cultural center from Leipzig. And talking about this regenerative, this is a project that is trying to exist for years. This is the club from Ostend. They are like a very, very nice crew from Leipzig. And they got thousands of problems because it's an old gas, petrol. It's not possible for people to be there. It's like them, German laws and being the cultural things. Like, how do we do it? The people cannot live there. So there was a lot of trouble for them to be able to officialize. And officially, they open this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to start doing events there finally after almost 5 years. So this is something that I'm looking very forward to see as well in the Leipzig scene. Mm-hmm. Next month, I go to South Africa for the first time ever to meet Pangaea Festival.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm looking very forward.
Yeah.
And yeah. What can I say about myself? Next month in October. Now a little promo. In October is coming in Stuff for Talent.
Oh, right.
One of my first release. I've been first release in a very long time, actually.
Oh, right.
It's the first fast release that I'm doing with Anna Omani. It's called Parental Advisory.
Mm-hmm.
And this release is actually a cycle to the... It's a very actually nice track with a remix from Elisa, which an artist that I really admire as well. And to bring more women to Stifo Talent.
Yeah.
I love my IGC, I love it. But we need more women.
Yeah.
But the thing is the thing. Yeah. And the Parental Advisory is actually a track that the lyrics, they're about my mom.
Uh-huh.
Because I started this year with a very big crisis with her.
Oh, okay.
Because... I think a lot of people just leave this. Like our parents, they try to control ourselves. Or they are like, they think they are this, and we are an extension of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we are a better version of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my mom with me.
Mm-hmm.
So this track is about releasing yourself from this.
Wow.
And just like allowing yourself to be who you are. Yeah, you don't have to be who your parents would like you to be. He's a bit teenager. Sorry, I'm a teenager now.
But are you singing actually then?
I don't sing it. Yeah. I kind of speak.
Okay.
Or even, I don't know, yeah, it's like speaking, rapping. Yeah.
Rapping.
Nice.
It's kind of in this direction.
We're going to keep our ears open.
Thank you so much for your openness. Yeah.
Yes. That, wonderful. That laugh at the end is important. Now we have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ciao.